Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here this morning. Thanks for everybody joining us on Facebook. Make sure you comment and let us know that you are watching along with us. Choir practice tonight at 5, small groups tonight at 6. Tomorrow evening we'll be having Trail Life and American Heritage Girls at 6:30 p.m. So don't forget about that. If you are on the Indy Eye Council, this is the week. You'll be meeting Wednesday night at 5 p.m. in the conference room for Wednesday evening service. Don't forget about that. Of course, normal Wednesday evening activities for the children, the teens, and the adults at 6 p.m. We'll be walking in the Family Life Center on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10, like usual. And then open prayer time Friday morning at 9 a.m. here in the sanctuary. Grief Share will be meeting this Friday morning at 10 a.m. in the Good News classroom. So if you know anybody who would like to be part of that, please let them know. Or if you'd like to be part of that, please come be a part of that. Men's Breakfast is this upcoming Saturday at 9 in the Fellowship Hall. And Wayne will be sending out his email this week, so be looking for that gentleman to make sure that you let him know if you can be there or not. The ladies' ministry is having a Galentine's brunch this Saturday at 10 a.m. And there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Now, it's not good enough if you just put your name down on the sign-up sheet. You have to also put what you're bringing. So it's a two-part deal. And, you know, Linda is glad that you're going to come, but she also wants to know what food you're bringing. So she's got a plan. So don't forget about that, but that will be a fun event for you ladies, so don't forget about that. The teens are having a Valentine's Day banquet on the 14th, on Valentine's Day. I know Keisha and Parker were out in the foyer, as many of you came in, kind of hyping it up, and so they were doing a great job of that when I was out there. So many of you all are already aware about that, but you need to get tickets from them. You have to sign up beforehand, let them know that you're going to be planning on coming so that they can plan. But please see Keisha or Pastor Tyler for more information about that. And we're excited that the teens are going to be doing that. There is a new continuous prayer need list and church calendar front and back on the sheet for February. It's available in the foyer if you didn't pick one up during your Sunday school class, but a lot of good information on there about some different things going on in the church. So make sure that you grab one of those on the way out the door if you did not already receive one of those. And I think that is all I have. Thank you all for being here. Thanks for your support of the church with your attendance and with your tithes and offerings.
I'm going to get me a coat like Jesse has. I think I should too. I think I could do well in that. I'm kind of somber this morning, I guess, in comparison to Jesse. It's good to see you this morning. We're glad that you're here and a part of the service. This has been a special weekend for our kids. And yesterday they gathered and got to meet Pastor John Young. And John, would you stand, please, sir? And he is has come to be a part of this weekend with us, and the church board is going to be meeting with John after the service, or after the lunch that we're having together down in the Family Life Center. That's the board, not all of you. Thought I better clarify that real quick. Board and their spouses. John is a missionary's kid, a pastor's kid. He's a recent graduate of Mount Vernon Nazarene University, and he's been with us since Friday. And he's going to be going down with the children in just a moment, but we wanted to introduce you to him, and you'll be able to see him and maybe get to talk with him a little bit right after service this morning. But we're glad that John has been with us this weekend. And we're going to dismiss the children and John at this time. Amen.
Amen. Aren't you thankful for the firm foundation that we have in Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Well, stand with me this morning as you're able, and let's pray together. Father God, we're thankful for the fact that we don't have to build our house on shifting sand, but that we can build our life on You, the firm foundation. God, we're thankful that You cared enough about us to send Your Son Jesus to die on a cross to save us from our sins so that we could have that foundation. Father, this morning as we continue in this time that we have together, I pray that You would come and meet with us in this place and that we would know that You are here and that You are working and that You are moving in our midst. Father, as we continue in this time together, I pray that You would bless it and that You would help us to glorify You in everything that is said and everything that's done. It's in Your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Sweet to hold, a new
scripture out of the Psalms. It's Psalm 27. And this is what it says. This is verses 1 through 3 and then the last two verses of the chapter as well. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it's my enemies and foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will remain confident." And then the last two verses of the chapter says this. He says, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord." This past week I shared a little something on Facebook that I just want to read to you because I think it's important for us to understand. You know, when we take a long, hard look at some of the things that we experience in our lives, we see that some of the biggest problems that we face don't center around the what or the how. Some of the biggest problems that we face center around the why. You know, there are a lot of people inside and outside of the church that have a lot of questions. I still have a lot of questions. The thing is this, Christianity is not neat and tidy. And you know, many times neither is the church. The fact is that as long as there's a church, there's going to be church hurt. As long as there's a fallen creation, there will be suffering. As long as there's mystery, there will be unanswered questions. But here's what I want you to remember. As long as there's a risen Savior, we have hope. So let's sing this morning about the goodness of God and the hope that we have in Christ.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay
Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, that when we at times seem to abandon things and run away, that you did indeed come to us right where we are, right where we were. You were willing, Lord, to be forgiving. You were willing, Lord, to draw us close to you. And all our failures and fumbles, Lord, you have been faithful. And so, Lord, this morning we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We're thankful, Lord, that we can have that kind of confidence in you, that you're going to do that for us. Not that we should just do it to be doing it, but Lord, when we fail, your word tells us that if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, this morning we give you praise for the goodness of God. We've had it so much better, Lord, than what we deserve. But you have given and you have given and you have given. And we praise you and we thank you for that this morning. And now, Lord, as we look into your word together, I pray that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would come and do in this very weak vessel what only you can do. We believe you, God, that you're going to speak and that you're going to help. And so we trust you this morning for that. Bless this time that we have together. We give you praise in advance for what you're going to accomplish through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. On the screen, it says we're going to begin with verse 11, and that was done on Friday, and since that point in time, we're going to back up a few verses to verse 8. That's the prerogative of being the preacher. Backing up to verse 8 will kind of set more of the stage that from which we're gonna pursue this morning. But begin with verse 11. It'll be on the screen, but we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Begin with verse 8. The Apostle Paul said, "Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it is now revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Verse 11. "And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We live in a day in which the words "I doubt it" are becoming more and more frequently heard. In fact, you hear the words "I doubt it" coming from people everywhere. Our world has become a very cynical place, and I think part of the reason that it has become a very cynical place is because of politicians, because of corporations, because of the news media, because of press organizations, and sadly, and I hate to do this, but I'm just gonna tell you what I think. A whole lot of preachers have caused a whole lot of cynicism in our world today. You look at it, there seems to be little that we can believe in anymore. And sadly, I hear and see Christians basically saying, I doubt it, when it comes to the things of God, by the way that we live and by the way that we respond to the world that is around us. A few years ago, Barna Research Group did a survey, and 64% of the teenagers in our world do not believe any longer in absolute truth. Now, the statistics aren't much better when you come to the adults, and sadly, the statistics aren't much better when you come to the church. In fact, a whole lot of people these days believe that truth is relative. If you believe it, then it's true for you. If I believe something different, then that's true for me. We basically have arrived at a place that we say, well, that's the way it is, and you know, you have to make your own truth. Do y'all remember the Greek word that I taught you a few weeks ago? Some of you do. Hogwash. You know? And you begin to look at this passage of Scripture. The reason I went back to verse 8 is because you basically have to set the scene for all this, because the Apostle Paul here is writing to a young man that he dearly loved. The first years of my ministry, even though my dad was a pastor, and we were talking last night or last night about how long Dad pastored, and Dad pastored for about 48 to 50 years, something like that. I am on year 44, 43. I'm old, okay? Everybody that I went to high school has already retired from their jobs and are pursuing a second career, and I'm still hanging in there. But you know, you begin to look at this, and the Apostle Paul is writing to this young man, Timothy, his son in the faith. And he's writing to him, and he's not in the best of circumstances. In fact, he's in prison. And he's telling Timothy, Timothy, even though I am where I am, I don't want you to be ashamed of who I am, what I am, and what the Lord is doing. He said, I want you to understand it. I want you to join with me in the suffering for the gospel. And then he begins to describe what this gospel is. He begins to show Timothy how that this gospel comes by faith. And then in verse 11, he says, and of this gospel I am appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. And then he says those words that I really want us to look at this morning. That's why I'm suffering as I am, yet I'm not ashamed. Listen to these words one more time. I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him against that day. That day that is coming. You see, when I look at this passage of Scripture, I see that the words of the apostle here, even though he is in prison, even though he is facing certain death, I see that his words stand in complete contrast to the age of doubt in which we live. He had a confidence which defied anyone to shake his stability. Here was someone who had no doubts about what he believed. He was certain. He was absolutely sure about it. And the question to which we come this morning after listening of so much that's going on in our world, are there things that we can know for certain? Can we, as Christians today, have the same kind of confidence in Christ that the Apostle Paul had? Well, I want you to understand that I believe the answer is yes, in capital letters. Yes, I believe we can. There are those things that we can know for certain. There are those things that we do need to know. And by knowing those things, we will find ourselves on a solid rock. Marcy had no idea last Sunday night when she picked out her song what I was going to be preaching about this morning. We can have a solid rock on which we can stand. We can know. We can have confidence. We can have a confident testimony. And Paul was a man with a confidence that had been established. And that confidence was in Jesus. And I want us this morning to look at this testimony that Paul gives to Timothy here. And I want us, as we are looking at it, to really come to a point and place in our own life that we can say along with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him against that day when Jesus comes. The first thing that I want you to see this morning, what you have here is a Christ-centered confession. You have a Christ-centered confession. One more time. I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. I mean, there is a statement of faith if you've ever heard it. It's a confession of faith. I know whom I have believed. This is not, well, I hope so. This is not maybe so. The Apostle Paul is sitting there with a firm confidence, Christ-centered confession, saying that he knows. You see, we designate ourselves as people who are of the Christian faith. And the reality of it is Christianity does come by faith. Now, all that we receive from God comes by faith. When the Philippian jailer asked the Apostle Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul replied, believe. Paul didn't go out and tell him to work hard or to join this or to reform or maybe to hope so. He simply stated that this man needed to put his faith, he needed to put his confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to have faith. And it was only by faith that he could be saved. That's the thing that we've got to understand. But this faith is not just faith in faith, or this faith is not just faith in I hope so. What you have here as the Apostle Paul is talking is a Christ-centered confession because he says, I know whom I have believed. And that person is Jesus. Paul's confident testimony, it was not in religion, but in a person. He says that he has a personal faith in Christ Jesus. He didn't say that he had a faith about Jesus. Can I tell you something? There are a lot of people in our world that have faith about Jesus. There are a lot of people in our world that would say, well, Jesus was a good teacher. Please understand that Jesus being a good teacher is not enough to save us from our sins. Amen, William. Good preaching. He who tooteth not his own horn, it doth not get tooted. You know. I mean, the reality of it is we have a faith in Jesus. His testimony was not about Jesus. His faith was in Jesus. Paul didn't say, I believe certain things about Christ. He said, I know him. And there's a big difference. And, you know, I got to meet the governor of the state of Louisiana on two different occasions. But if you were to call him up today and say, or if I were to call him up today and say, hi, this is William Bonney, he'd go, who? Now, I've met him. I've had lunch with him twice. He's not the governor anymore, incidentally. But I had lunch with him twice. Got to sit there in the governor's mansion, along with about 20 other preachers. You were thinking real big of me there for a minute, wasn't you? You know? But he would not know me. But when it comes to Jesus, the good news that I have for you is that you don't have to just know about him. You can know him. You can know him in a real and in a personal way. You see, really, Christianity is not just about faith. Christianity is really about a relationship. A relationship that we can have with God. And as we believe and as we trust and as we continue to walk with him, let me tell you, our faith is going to increase and our knowledge of him is going to increase. We can come to a point in place and time, as the Apostle Paul says, and give this Christ-centered confession, because that's what every person in this room needs. You need a Christ-centered confession, a real relationship with a living Lord. And all the religion in the world will not compensate for a lack of knowing Jesus. And the way that the Apostle Paul talks here, there is nothing more glorious than being able to know Jesus as our personal Savior. And that kind of Christ-centered confession is what our world needs to hear from us. Not hope so, maybe so, but that I know. That I know so. You see, it's confidence in Jesus that we really need. But not only do you see here a confident confession, but you also see here a confident conviction. Look at what it says there, verse 12, one more time. I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. Paul had a confident conviction. Now, I'm not talking about conviction that we feel when we know that we've done something wrong. I'm talking about a conviction that we are willing to stand on, that we are willing to die on. I found out a long time ago as a pastor that not every hill that I come to is worth me dying on. Those preachers that try to die on every hill usually die on that first or second one. Amen. But this is worth dying on. This is a conviction that the Apostle Paul had. You see, the King James Version says here, I am persuaded. I've moved beyond just, well, I think that's probably the case. To I know that I know that I know that I know. This is a conviction that is deep inside. You see, faith begins to persuade us of the truth. It convinces us. It convinces us that God is able to do what He said He was going to do. And as you begin to grow in Christ, and as you begin to see Christ work in your life, I'm telling you, this confident conviction that He is God, that He is able, it becomes more and more real in our lives day after day after day. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. In other words, faith and conviction, they go right hand in hand. Faith is both assurance and it's also knowing. I mean, there are those things that we can be certain about, that we can know. And really, folks, I'm going to tell you, it's only by knowing Christ that we can really know what certainty is in our world. One of the first things that I do in the mornings, if you follow the church on Facebook, you know that every morning that there is a different verse there. Now, if you look and you see how many hours ago that was done, you're going to find that this morning that was done at about 5 o'clock, somewhere right along in there. Part of that is because I can't sleep. Part of that is because my wife gets up at 4:30. I kid her all the time about that. I wake up. And there are several of those apps that you can find that really, you know, you can just pick a verse and go with it. But I don't try to do that. I really try to look and I really try to find a verse that's going to help me, and I hope that will help you in that day. You know? Something that's going to speak. Something that's going to give you some confidence for the day. It's not confidence in William. But it's confidence in the Word of God. It's confidence that God is going to move, and conviction that God is going to move, and that you and I can become convinced of the Word of God. And as we go through days, I've had people call me and say, Pastor, you don't know what that verse meant to me this morning. Well, you don't know what that verse meant to me that morning. But folks, I want you to understand this morning that I stand on a firm conviction that God's Word is true and that God's Word is for you and for me. I mean, the Apostle Paul here, he trusted Christ in his ministry. He trusted Christ for his safety. He trusted Christ for his reputation. He trusted Christ in everything that he did. And we do too. We have to trust him. It's not in our own experience. It's not in our own hopes. It's in Christ's Word living and abiding in us that we're going to be able to do what we do every day. A few weeks ago, I was listening to the radio, which is not something that I normally do, but I was listening to the radio and a song that came out while I was a teenager. It's old now. It came on the radio. when I read the first verse, many of you in this room are going to be able to quote the rest of it. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. And the chorus says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. You see, because we know Him, because we believe in His Word, because we've experienced His care, because we have experienced His power, you see, we can believe in Him. We can have this conviction that is going to hold us when the rest of the world gives way. This conviction that God is who He says He is and will do what He says He will do will hold us through the storms of life. The Hebrew writer said, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that seek Him. Paul says, I am convinced that He is able. Paul had a confident conviction that God was who He said He was and that God would do what He said He would do. But I want you to notice the last thing that the Apostle Paul shows us here. He not only shows us here that he had a Christ-centered confession and a confident conviction, but he also shows us here that he had a consuming commitment. I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him. The King James Version says here, to guard what I have committed to Him. I mean, the apostle's faith in all that he had, it brought him to a point and place of this consuming commitment. I have entrusted everything to Christ. You see, commitment undergirds all other things in the Christian life. It really becomes foundational in our faith. Someone tried to describe really what is the difference between contributing to our life and really committing our lives. And they described it this way about breakfast. They said, well, it's bacon and eggs because the chicken contributed, but the pig was committed. Some of y'all will get that about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Let me give you a simple definition of Christian commitment, okay? Here it is. If you don't get anything else this morning, get this. Christian commitment is unconditional surrender to Jesus. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. Unconditional commitment. Unconditional surrender to Christ. You see, as we come to Christ in faith, faith is either going to result in a complete surrender of our lives to Jesus, or it's just going to be something that we go through the motions of. You see, it's either going to be an upward spiral or a downward spiral. That's the way that it is. We're either going to be fully committed to Christ or we're not. And the call of Christ, the call of Christ is always a call to commitment. It's a call to trust Him. It's a call to live for Him. It's a call to follow Him. It's a call to surrender our lives to Him. You see, you can't continue in the faith very long unless you come to a point of complete surrender to Jesus. There can be no confident conviction without a surrender to Jesus. There can be really no Christ-centered confession without complete surrender to Jesus. Paul had made a commitment to Jesus that it didn't matter what happened, it didn't matter what he went through, that he was going through with Jesus all the way. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But I want you to focus on that for me to live is Christ. For me to live is for Christ to live through me. Because I have completely surrendered my heart and my life to Him. You see, when the Apostle Paul followed after Jesus, he surrendered completely. It's amazing to me that the Apostle Paul, or he was called Saul at that point in time, was on his way to put Christians to death. And when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, the first words out of his mouth is, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" That word Lord there, it indicates that full surrender had been made at that point in time. Isn't that amazing? Christ was not just part of his life. Christ was his life. And that's the way it should be for every believer. Christ should not just be something that we pick up on Sunday morning and lay aside on Sunday afternoon and come back and pick it up the next Sunday. You see, Christ should be every part of our lives. And the apostle's certainty came about because of his surrender to Christ. A whole lot of people's disillusionment about the Christian faith is not because Christ has failed. It's because they've never come to a place and point in time of complete surrender. I believe it was Dr. W.T. Perkheiser that says, temptation wins its easiest victories over those who the ultimate loyalty of their soul has never been settled. It was either Dr. Perkheiser or Dr. Ralph Earle. Temptation wins its easiest victories over those whose the ultimate loyalty of their soul has never been settled. What is he talking about there? Commitment, surrender, giving our all to Jesus. You see, Paul said he was convinced that Christ was able to guard what he had committed to him. Can I ask you a question this morning? Have you committed anything to Jesus? I'm not talking about have you said, well, I'm going to follow Christ. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about have you come to a point and place in time where you're willing to say, Jesus, here is my everything. Here is my all. I give it to you. I am holding nothing back. It is all yours. Do with it as you want to do. That's what had happened to Paul. That's the reason the Apostle Paul could say what he did. I have assurance. I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him against that day. You see, Jesus wants us all. And by that word all, I don't mean all in this room, but I do mean all in this room. But when I say Jesus wants it all, I mean Jesus wants it all. Everything that I am, everything that I hope to be, everything that I have, Jesus wants it all. It's kind of frightening, isn't it? It's kind of frightening to think that I'm giving up every part of my life to someone. But the wonderful news that I have for you this morning is that someone has already given you his all. When he died on a cross. Isn't that amazing? You see, he's able to take what we give him. And it may be a whole lot, or it may be what we think is absolutely nothing. But he's able to take what we give him and use it in ways that we can't even begin to conceive. Application. You find here when you look in this passage a Christ-centered confession. I know whom I have believed. I know Jesus. I have a personal relationship with him. That's basically what the Apostle Paul was saying there. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. I know whom I have believed. A confident conviction. He says, and then I am convinced. I'm convinced that he's able. I not only know him, but I'm convinced that he's working on my behalf through his mighty power to bring about his purpose in me, through me. And then there is this consuming commitment to guard what I have surrendered to him. Do you know Jesus in a personal way? I didn't ask the question, do you know about Jesus? I'm asking, do you know Jesus in a personal way? Have you come to a point and place and time in which you've come to Christ and you've said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. That's how we begin this process of knowing Jesus in a personal way. Do you have this conscious conviction that you've entrusted your life to him? And do you have this consuming commitment? You see, I found out a long time ago that the more I came to know Susie, the more I wanted to know Susie. And one day I said, I'm going to ask you a question and I want you to pray about it 2 weeks before you answer me. That's really the truth. You don't have to do that with Jesus, okay? Just so you know. I've been doing this a long time. And sometimes I look into his word and something that I have never, ever, ever, never, ever seen before suddenly leaps out at me and grabs me. And I want to know more. I want to know more. I get hungry for what I see and what I hear. And I want to know more. Because I'm committed to him. I'm committed to going all the way. And one of these days, that day that he speaks about is going to happen for every person in this room. We as human beings don't like to talk about that, but that is reality, okay? And I want to know that everything that I have committed, everything that I have surrendered, is going to be worth it all then. I don't want to get to the end of the way and say, you know, I sure wish I had done a whole lot better. I sure wish I had given Jesus more. Right now, I want to give him everything. I want to be all that he wants me to be. And I believe you do too. Or you wouldn't be here this morning. Have you come to a point and place in time that you've surrendered your life to Jesus? Have you come to a point and place in time that you have committed every part of your life to living for him? If not, I'm glad to tell you that before you leave this place this morning, whether there at your seat or whether at one of these front row seats or whether kneeling here in this altar, before you leave this morning, you can say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and make me a new person. Or if you've done that before, you can say, Lord Jesus, today I want to surrender every part of my life to you. I want to give you every part that I am, everything that I hope to be. Lord Jesus, I give it to you today. Or you can say, Lord Jesus, I make a commitment to you today. I give you all of me, knowing that you're going to guard it, knowing that you're going to do with it what needs to be done until that day. Whatever you need to do this morning, I'm so glad to tell you that Jesus will help you, and that Jesus will touch you, and that Jesus will save you. Those are the best words that I could give you today. The best words I could give you today. I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together this morning to look into your word. Thank you for the Apostle Paul that had confidence and was willing to make that kind of confession that he knew who he had believed in. And Lord, this morning we believe in you. We want a relationship with you. We want to surrender to you. We want to commit our lives to you until that day. And Father, if there are those who are seated here this morning who need to come to a point and place and time in their lives that they need to surrender all to you, may this be the day May this be the time. May this be the place that they give it all to you. We thank you and we love you for what you have done and what you're going to do in the few moments that we have remaining this morning. As Susie and Tyler come and we're going to sing a song, I pray, oh God, if we need to make that kind of commitment, that you'd help us today to come either to the front or right there where we're sitting, and that we indeed will make that commitment to you. And we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you for what you're going to accomplish in the remainder of this service this morning. In Jesus' name.
Trust him.
334. Let's sing. Amen.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
That chorus just one more time. We're not going to press or put anybody under any pressure this morning, but we're going to sing it one more time. If you need to pray about anything this morning, these altars are always open, and you're able to come and to bow here. God's speaking to your heart this morning. Why don't you come? Bow here and let God do something in you that you need today. He will help you now. Sing that chorus one more time, Tyler.
Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together this morning. Thank you for your Spirit that has been so faithful to meet with us tonight, today. I ask you, God, that you would bless us as we go from this place. Pray for these who have come to bow before you. We're going to pray with them in just a moment, Lord. But I ask you, God, that you would bless as we go through the remainder of this day. May this word come to our hearts and our minds, that we know whom we have believed, and we're persuaded that he's able to guard what we've entrusted to him against that day. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. I'm glad you were here this morning. Board members, we're going down to the Family Life Center to eat. And if you want to go down there right now, that'll be great, or in just a few minutes. But we're going to pray with these who are here. You are dismissed. May God bless.